This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 5:05, and as mentioned, our first story is about how Bukit Aman have revealed that they relied on footage of 35 viral videos on social media, as well as details forwarded by the public and netizens to solve crimes within the last 5 months.
Dr. Huzir Mohamed, Bukit Aman Criminal Investigation Department Director Commissioner, said 29 out of 35 cases have been solved. Some of the viral videos involved extortion, robbery, motorcycle theft, as well as child abuse.
So the commissioner has also called on members of the public to WhatsApp videos of offences and crimes being committed to, and this is the number, 019-301-9930. Or they can also send it via PDRM's Facebook or Twitter accounts. So couple of things here, right? Firstly, interesting that social media is actually being used to solve crimes, to actively solve a significant percentage. Like if you look at 29 out of 35 cases being solved, that's not bad.
Yeah, just in the past 5 months too.
Yes. I mean, if you were to look at it in the grand total of however many crimes have been committed, then maybe not so. But these are, I assume, reasonably public crimes, right? Because they would have been public enough to have been recorded. But I guess some concerns here, mostly for me, to do with issues of privacy.
Yeah, and also for me, it's likely stuff to do with vigilantism. You know, are we necessarily encouraging people to start being more proactive and just taking out their phones and just recording it, as opposed to immediately and directly reporting cases to police? Are we, you know, when a traffic accident happens, do we, besides stopping to collect their motor plate numbers and licenses, do we also just then not call for help, take our phones, record the situation, post it somewhere on Twitter and Facebook and hope for the best?
I think a lot of us have been in this situation before because we have been sent these videos, right? We've been sent these either it's videos or photos or links, and they usually depict something in the moment that it's happening, whether or not it's, like you said, a traffic accident, whether or not sometimes it's like a public altercation. We have been sent them. And because of that, there is also the idea of, well, who took this? And might I someday be somebody who does this as well? And I think a lot of us have been put into that moment of wondering, would it be helpful in this moment of time to actually take out my phone and hit record? Does this help? And so what Bukit Aman is saying now is that it can. And that, to me, is a surprise.
It is. It doesn't only happen in the form of taking videos and taking photos of a certain situation. But if you're on Twitter, if you're on Facebook, what happens is that if someone posts something a bit inflammatory or someone posts something that's slightly unpleasant, people also do tend to tag at PDRM Malaysia for them.
Yes.
It will usually accompany something like PDRM, at PDRM, please investigate. So I don't know. It's like you just have to be extra, extra careful with what you say. You know, forgetting sometimes that social media is more or less a very, very public platform.
Let us know what you think. Have you ever hit record when you were looking at what you thought might, you know, a crime or something criminal happening in front of you? Have you ever chosen to record it? Do you think that it's helpful? You can let us know. Call us at 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us now is Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, who specializes in intellectual property and technology. Swaran, thanks for joining us today.
Hi, everyone. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, thank you. So let's get down to this, right? Because there are obviously, as Bukit Aman have said, good values here, good aspects to using social media as a platform to share and draw attention to crime, given that the police have successfully investigated and solved a number of those crimes in the last 5 months. But are there legal concerns here as well? For example, in the case of just defamation?
Yes, there are legal concerns. And you know, before I get into answering that main question, I wanted to also point out that the police themselves, they tend to be giving sort of mixed signals to the public in the matter of how such things are to be viewed at and how such incidents of crime or alleged crime take place. So I was just going through the report that came out in the press today. And the CID commissioner, of course, said that, you know, people are encouraged, you should share more and tell us what's going on. It helps us with the percentage of arrests and solving the crimes. But, I mean, there seems to be a short-term memory here, because going back to what happened in January, there was a statement made by the City Police Chief Commissioner, Dato Sri Mathlan, who actually discouraged the sharing of viral videos or pictures of crimes taking place on the basis that it gets in the way of investigation. It also sort of gives an impression that a suspect is already sort of wrong of the crime before even any investigation has taken place or even the judicial process has begun. So there seems to be that, I think we need to remember that there seems to be that missed signal given out already. That's the first thing I wanted to point out. And to answer your question on the basis that whether such sharing of videos does bring about legal concerns, the answer is yes. Because it does tend to encourage vigilantism amongst members of the public, and that's not a good thing. It also could amount to potential defamation issues that might arise, whereby a viral video is viewed in one angle, people are giving comments in the heat of the moment as to what they feel about things that have gone wrong without seeing the other side of the story. There's also this cut videos that take place where someone takes a video and the context of what happened just minutes before or even minutes later is left out either intentionally or accidentally, and the wrong impression is given. I mean, for example, looking at what happened in the horrendous mosque attack in New Zealand, people were jumping to a conclusion it brought about more crime and hate crime in the streets. That brings about that one viral video caused further consequential crimes to occur because there was so much riding on what happened. And similarly for the Easter attack in Sri Lanka. So similar sort of things, because we're living in a multicultural society, that one video could bring about crime by itself, or it could lead to occurrence of further perpetuation of crimes. So in that sense, a lot of caution needs to be practiced before sharing a viral video.
Locally, are there any laws pertaining to the practice of filming crimes, whether it's prevented practice or protecting the person who films it?
There is no direct law per se on covering something as specific as that. You have legislation that do tend to protect instances of what I just mentioned. There's also the Penal Code Sedition Act, Whistleblower Act, for example, and other civil wrongs that take place. But to say whether we have regulations or laws that tend to address only the recording of crimes, I would say not really.
And I mean, Swaran, just checking, right? So in a court of law, if somebody were investigating a crime, would a video or a photo, for example, be permissible as evidence, as like conclusive evidence that someone was there, someone did a certain act or whatever?
I mean, in that sense, the whole idea of if the defense counsel were to challenge the veracity of the video, the authenticity, or even the manner in which how the video was taken, it brings to question as to whether the such a video is even good evidence. Because in criminal proceedings, you need to bring the maker to court and explain who took the video, when was it taken, was there any interference or any kind of editing done to the video. And these days and age, with the advent of technology, so much is going on in terms of what can be portrayed as realistic and what cannot be. So you have deep fake videos where you could actually take someone saying something and, rally up a crowd. So in that, to answer your question, just relying on the, just for someone to look at a Facebook page and use that video and bring it to court, that is not going to be sufficient. You still need to go to the maker of the video and bring it to court, especially if it's strongly challenged.
So how really do you see then the role of crime recordings in police investigations? Are they a good thing, or do they usually just throw a spanner into the works?
To my mind, any kind of evidence that records a crime, be it in the form of pictures or videos, always helps in the process of investigation. To me, what is more important is that it's the manner in which such a video is shared, and the right channels needs to be put in place. So looking at the statement made by the CID director, he does say in his statement today in the press that came out, he does say share it on the PDRM's Facebook page, share it on the Twitter account, and also on WhatsApp. I would actually pepper that with caution. I would actually say that, report directly to the PDRM, send a direct message or via a messenger or just a WhatsApp, and let that be the way in which you are reporting a crime, and let the police carry on the investigation based on that. The danger of sharing it on the PDRM's website or even on the PDRM Twitter handle, the danger of that is that people may actually view that as a carte blanche to say, I've reported a crime, what I have, and therefore once I shared it, I only shared it, I'm only a messenger, therefore you can't blame me if it's incomplete, there's a cut editing going on or whatever, I'm not liable. And there's a recent decision in India, where it said merely sharing a video does not mean you can just say to yourself, I'm not liable. Sharing a video does mean you endorse the contents of what happened. And therefore, I would say the recording of a video is not a bad thing, but be careful as to the type of recording done, especially if that is of a sexual crime or something that is involving children. But then report that to the police directly, use the proper channels, and then let the authorities do their job. And that would be a safer thing to do than to openly sort of broadcast it, and then it takes a life of its own, and then it becomes too difficult to control.
On that note, if, let's say, I were to take a video of a crime, and after which I wanted to take it down, or I changed my mind about the fact that I thought this was helpful when I uploaded it, and now I no longer think so, what are the avenues for me to actually get that down? Because I'm assuming that it would be very, very hard actually to be able to get every single copy of that video taken down if it did go viral.
In fact, that's a saying, you know, once it goes on the internet, it is there for life, it's there forever. Once on the internet, people believe that, you know, contacting a certain body to take it down and whatnot, it means that you are right. But the fact is, once it goes on the internet, it's there forever. It's very, very, very difficult to then take it back and take it down. So in the moment of sharing is where it becomes most critical. So preemptive measures are important. And to answer your question, if you want to try to take it down, further attempts need to be made by the person who shared it, because out of fear that something has gone wrong, that person has to take double or triple the efforts to just inform everyone to say that my earlier video, please disregard, it may not be true, it may not be this and all that. And going back, you know, you raised a good point. In a similar case that I mentioned in India, the person who had shared the video, and in fact it was a video about where he was degrading the role of women in India, in development of India, and he subsequently, before the case even began, he had subsequently shared messages to say that, please ignore my earlier message, it's not true. And despite that, the court still held him accountable to say that, you know, you're a certain person of a certain standing, and you merely by just, you know, saying that don't share it or don't look at it doesn't mean that you are free of your crimes, so to speak. Similarly, if someone wants to take it down, they have to make a lot of effort to tell everyone, don't share it, it's bad. But it does not really give the person a defense to say, I've done something bad.
So then when we, let's say videos, they go viral, you know, how does vigilantism occur when we talk about recording crimes? Can we prevent it in the case that it does become viral?
Sorry, I didn't get the question.
I suppose the question here is more to do with, earlier you mentioned vigilantism, right? So yeah. When we're talking about things like recording crimes, when we're talking about to some degree, you know, participating in trying to prevent or investigate or, you know, report a crime, how does vigilantism enter the picture?
Vigilantism is a very dangerous creature, because it starts with the impression that you're doing something right. When the fact of the matter is that you may not realize that what you're trying to do could be a crime by itself. So it may start off in that innocent way, and then it takes a life of its own. And we know that when it comes to the Facebook, when it comes to the spread of information on Facebook, any other social media, sometimes people want to share because they want the like on their page. Not so much they want to be the interest of the person being harmed or the privacy of someone else that's being infringed by the act of vigilantism, but they want something that looks good for them. And therefore, that one thing that they feel right about, they feel they need to report a crime, gets perpetuated or furthered because they feel good about it, not realizing that by the very act of what you're doing, you are infringing on someone's privacy. You are, you know, reporting a crime or alleged crime that may or may not be what it is turned out to be. And therefore, it gets out of control. And you then have a situation where the person who's recording, the citizen, decides to take enforcement in his or her own hands. They feel that they are playing the same role as that of a police and go over and above. And there are instances where vigilantism starts innocent and then it ends up becoming a crime by itself and they get more and more involved in what needs to be done and the level of recording to take place. So that would be my comments on why vigilantism, you know, it starts well, but it doesn't end well.
Right. And Swaran, I mean, in conclusion, you mentioned right at the top of our chat that essentially, there are mixed messages when it comes to whether or not recording is a good thing or a bad thing when it comes to crime, when it comes to reporting crime. For people just out there on the street who might encounter something that looks suspicious or that catches their attention in a sort of criminal way, what advice would you have before one just whips out their phone and hits record?
I would say first and foremost, be aware of the act of recording and how that could in fact provoke the very culprit that you're trying to record to in fact come towards you and attack you. So I think look after your own safety first. If you are alone and you find someone, you know, taking part in a crime and they see you recording, you could also be harmed. So be very careful of that. That's the first thing. Second thing, if you're trying to record a crime that's happened on the streets, on the road, I've seen instances where the very person who's recording ends up causing further accidents or injury to other people. So again, injury to others, don't be too gung-ho about taking a recording of something on the road, on the highway. Having said that, I would say it is encouraged to record a crime taking place, but when that crime is recorded, do report it to the right authorities directly rather than sharing it on a social media page. And secondly, if you are going to share it, it has to be in its entire context. It cannot just be in a portion where the whole story is not complete. And I think special regard must be placed to circumstances which involves religion and also any kind of children or any kind of sexual attack taking place. Those are extremely sensitive and you're infringing on many people's rights. And it has the propensity of going out of control and inciting a group of people when in fact the truth may not be what is seen in that video. So this would be some of my takeaways, I think, for anyone out there who wants to record a crime.
Swaran, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Most welcome. Good talking to you guys.
That was Swaran Singh Sidhu, partner at Law Partnership, weighing in on whether you should, as well as how to safely record incidents of crime, because Bukit Aman has said that actually viral videos have proven to be quite helpful in terms of investigation. So we want to hear from you. Are you one of those people who would take a recording of a crime? Have you done it before? What was that like? Let us know. Call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Break from monotony. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:04 on the evening edition, and before we move on, we have a message here from Cheryl Akma, and this is regarding our earlier story, which was all about crime reporting, more specifically crime recording that then potentially goes viral, because it turns out that in the last 5 months, the police have said they've solved 29 out of 35 crimes based and helped along in part by the fact that there were videos, right?
Yeah, that people were sending in viral videos or tagging them, and then they went on to investigate the content of them, which some of them included crimes such as extortion, robbery, and child abuse.
Now, to be clear, you can send them along specifically to PDRM via 019-301-9930 or via their Facebook or Twitter accounts. So they are not suggesting that you put this up on your own Facebook and try and get it to go viral. Instead, they're saying that the recordings have been helpful for them when it was sent directly and left in their hands. So Cheryl is saying, what about Jalan Belubang, illegal parking, road obstruction, outdated billboards? Where can I lodge a report? Will my identity be secured? Is there any rewards system to encourage the public to lodge a report? And how can I know if my report has been acknowledged by the relevant authorities? Now, I would hazard a guess and say this has nothing to do with the police. Instead, this is probably more to do with your local council.
Yeah, though I also think there is a role in, say, if...
JBJ?
If let's say if it's that and if it's with illegal parking, you can always just call them and check if you've done any sort of reporting to them. It's also not the same based on what our lawyer earlier said, our special guest Swaran saying. He said that even if you have sent recordings over to the police, you should still file an official report. And I'm guessing it's likely the same case even with local council.
So we're going to, I think, look this up, the answer specifically to those questions. But most of the local council websites will have an avenue for reporting, mm-hmm. And they should also have an avenue for you to check in on it. Speaking to local council people in the past, that is what they've said. We will just check in and see. We'll let you know our next ad break, I think, once we have a chance to look it up.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.